God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Brother Hutchings. Today's program, Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino talk about two topics: is Muhammad in the Bible, and the ramifications of cloning. We'll be making two books on those subjects available. They're both part of our book clearance, started this month and continuing through September. Brother Larry authored one of them, and Brother Hutchings the other. Brother Larry's book is entitled, Is Muhammad in the Bible? Brother Larry answers the question with more than a simple no. The other book by Brother Hutchings is The New Creators, and in it he looks at genetic engineering that is the basis for cloning and more. We'll tell you how to get the books later, but right now, here's Brother Hutchings.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. As we have mentioned, the summer months are very, very difficult. Not only have they been more severe this year than usual, but we're also looking forward to replacing some of the outreach that we have lost with a live daily internet program where you can see us on your computer. We have to rearrange some things here in the office, and there's some equipment also that we need to get. But we've lost so many of our stations in different areas like San Antonio, Philadelphia, Chicago, and we could go on and on, that our income has been reduced by about $100,000 a month. So we just need everyone who loves this program on the stations that we remain on to be faithful and to write in every month if you possibly can and send whatever the Lord lays on your heart and that you have been blessed so that we can continue. And this summer book clearance gift offers that we have been making, we're praying that this will be a great help also. The book Dr. Spargimino and I are going to be considered today is Muhammad in the Bible, and my book, The New Creators. But before we get into these subjects, I want to mention again about our East Coast Prophecy Conference for 2006. It will again be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It won't be at Willow Valley because they simply did not have an opening for us, but it's going to be at the Lancaster Hotel Resort and Conference Center, and I understand it's a beautiful facility. They have large, oversized guest rooms. I think they can hold up as many as four in a room. It would be very economical for families. There are also dining facilities available at the resort center or nearby. And I think there may be a swimming pool, there's a golf course, and many recreational facilities you can find there. The conference will be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You will need to call and pre-register. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. They will give you information how to make your hotel reservation. Dr. Spargimino, we're going to be looking first at a book that you wrote. It's a very interesting book because there have been so many claims by Islamic evangelists, shall we say, especially in prisons, that Muhammad is in the Bible. What about some of these claims?
Well, yes, Dr. Hutchings, there are nothing more than propaganda claims, but they have put probably hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of dollars to promote Islam by public broadcasting, by civic organizations, and even churches. Now, one pamphlet that I have, it says this, quote, "It was Prophet Muhammad who was the paraclete, the comforter, the helper, the administrator sent by God after Jesus," close quotes. In other words, Muhammad is the Holy Spirit according to Islam. Now, there's some other propaganda pieces. In these other pieces, Muhammad replaces biblical prophets and apostles. There's a pamphlet that I also have that claims that Muhammad liberated women. Another one says the real sword of Islam is the Spirit of God, and that other religions are flourishing in the freedom of Islamic law. Now, just imagine, you know, when I first wrote this book, people said, where did you get this stuff from? Well, it's actually Islamic propaganda that is being circulated in America. Now, there's another pamphlet or tract, if you may call it that. It claims that Islam is the great protector of human rights. And so on and on and on, and I wrote this book, Is Muhammad in the Bible? That's just one of the tracts that I deal with, but I deal with about 10 different tracts presenting all of these inflated and erroneous claims about Muhammad.
Yes, and there is also some propaganda put out by Muslims, especially those in this country, that Muhammad is the prophet greater than Moses. Of course, that reference there looked forward to Jesus, of course. But they say, well, Muhammad is a prophet, and he's a step up from Jesus. He's greater than Jesus. Therefore, he is the prophet mentioned in the Bible that is greater than Jesus that was to come. That's foolish, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. You know, the prophet that Deuteronomy 18 speaks about is like Moses. So whoever this prophet is, and of course we'll show that it is Jesus, the really central item of the text is that this prophet is like Moses. Now, there are many parallels between Moses and Jesus Christ. So like Moses, Jesus was rescued from death as a baby. Like Moses, he forsook the privileges of royalty. Like Moses, he had compassion on the people. Like Moses, he made intercession for the people. Like Moses, he is the mediator of the covenant. Now, okay, let's look at Muhammad. Well, guess what we find? Muhammad simply does not fit. Unlike Jesus, Muhammad enjoyed many privileges of royalty, including dwelling in palaces, faring on sumptuous food, and having many wives. Muhammad was mediator of no covenant. As a matter of fact, Islam has no covenant. So there is no comparison whatsoever, whereas with Jesus, there are many, many parallels.
Certainly. And to claim that Muhammad is the comforter, that is absolutely ludicrous. But Islam today is looking for the Mahdi to come. Of course, we know that Jesus is coming back, but strangely enough, Muslims are, and perhaps in the Quran even, Jesus is acknowledged that he's going to come back, but they say Muhammad will not come back.
Mm-hmm.
Some believe that Jesus is the Mahdi that's coming back, but he's not coming back as we would expect him according to the Muslims.
Well, absolutely. That's correct because, you know, we are looking forward to Jesus coming back. That is the blessed hope of the church. That is one of the great blessings. Now, he's not coming back the way the Mahdi is supposed to appear. And as a matter of fact, you and I do not believe, and Bible-believing Christians do not believe, that we can force his hand or that we can do anything on this earth to bring Jesus back. On the other hand, some of the radical Islamists are claiming that by engaging in war, by provoking Israel, by destroying Israel, by destroying America, they can bring the Mahdi back, who will bring great redemption to the Islamic nation. So there's a complete difference between what the Bible teaches about the return of Jesus and what the radical Islamists believe about the Mahdi.
Certainly. Your book is certainly an eye-opener concerning a lot of these ridiculous claims by Muslims. Perhaps some of you out there know a Muslim who might need this book. But you cover in this book, is Muhammad in the Bible? Of course he's not, unless he's out of the bottomless pit. And Muhammad and his followers on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what do the Muslims say about the resurrection?
Well, they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ because they don't believe that Jesus died on the cross. They believe it was somebody else, Simon of Cyrene or Nicodemus or whoever it was. So Of course, if it was not Jesus who died, then Jesus could not have been resurrected. Now, that is one of the tremendous differences between Islam and the Christian faith. The Christian's hope is that just as Jesus was victorious over death, and the proof of this is in his resurrection, death could not hold him down, so we too, in union with Jesus, and that happens when we put our faith in him, that we too, all believers, will be victorious over death. So Islam does not have this hope. And, you know, there's no way that we can say, for example, that we all worship the same God. I know there have been many leading people, and they've spoken, I believe, out of ignorance or out of a desire to maybe kind of make peace between Islam and Christianity. And they've said, well, we all worship the same God. We're really talking about a monotheistic faith. It's very similar to Christianity and so on. Well, that, Dr. Hutchings, is absolutely not true. All we have to do is say, well, look, we believe that our God, the God of Scripture, is a triune God. Does Islam believe that? Well, of course, Islam doesn't believe that. We could also point out that our God loves all people everywhere. Well, what about Islam? Does Islam believe that? Well, absolutely not. So I think my book really points out some of the radical differences, and hopefully it will silence those who have made these erroneous claims about all of us worshiping the same deity.
Another book that we're offering on our book clearance gift offers during August, September is one that I wrote on the new creators. That's the title of the book. It goes into some detail concerning the miracle of procreation and why or how cloning occurs, and is it scriptural? Is it according to the Bible, or what laws of creation is cloning violating? In my book, I deal with chromosomes somewhat, because God said that let every kind produce after its own kind. That included not only animals, but also the plants. Every living thing was to produce after its kind. Well, how does that occur scientifically? You know, our kids will come home and say, well, the Bible is an old book of myths, and we've learned that in school, and our science class says this, and our science class says that. Well, let's just look at chromosomes. Hundreds of articles and news releases about biochemistry we read in our newspapers, yet most Christians today know little or nothing about chromosomes. Therefore, they can't communicate with their children when they come home with all this. Chromosomes is one of the necessary items for procreation. They are minute, coil-shaped bodies that carry hundreds of thousands of genes, which in turn determine how we talk, how we walk, how we think. That's all predetermined in the chromosome. It's a miracle of God in procreation. A chromosome has to be magnified thousands of times before it can be seen. It is so small, you would have thousands of them maybe on the head of a pin. Now, each form of life has its own predetermined number of chromosomes. For example, we read in Genesis chapter 1:24, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and the beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. Biologically speaking, we might wonder how God protected the thousands of life forms that he created so that each kind would produce after its own kind. Now, each human being has 46 chromosomes. Of the 46 chromosomes, 44 are autosomes and 2 are sex chromosomes. The 2 sex chromosomes contain genes which predetermines the development of male or female sex organs and other physical and emotional features that makes a difference between a man and a woman. A normal male has an X and a Y sex chromosome. A woman has two X's for her sex chromosome. So that is how God determines male and female, but each form of life has its own set of chromosomes. A human being has 46. A fern plant might have 400 chromosomes. Or an elephant might have 37 chromosomes. Or a mouse may also have 37 chromosomes, but it's evident that a mouse and an elephant cannot mate and produce a mouseophant. So God protects procreation that every kind produce after its own kind. Now, we get into genetic engineering where the genes in a chromosome are mixed with other genes in a chromosome. Now, that's mainly in the food we eat. It's called gene splicing or genetic engineering. I'm not in favor of that because God knew what kind of food we needed to eat in the first place. And most of the genetic engineering food, like tomatoes, for example, to me, they don't taste like tomatoes. They taste more like a sour cucumber or something like that. So God flavored everything. He made everything beautiful. And he put beautiful flowers on plants so that insects would cross-pollinate. So everything is figured out exactly. And that just illustrates what a great and wonderful God we have. But now, what happens when cloning takes place, and why would we want to do cloning in the first place? Well, an egg from the female is taken where there might be a hen egg or a human egg inside a female, and all the chromosomes are taken out of the egg. Therefore, all hereditary features of the female are taken out. So they will go and take chromosomes out of a cell of another being, say it's a sheep, a cow, or even a human being, and insert it into the egg in which the chromosomes or reproductive matter has been taken out. Then with an electrical charge, they can get the cells to start multiplying again, and the entity that is produced will not look like the entity, where it be a woman or animal or whatever from which the egg came, but it will look like the one or entity from which the cells came from. We recently heard or know of the sheep Dolly that was cloned. That was one of the first examples of cloning. But if we really go back in the history of cloning, it began in about 1950 with the cloning of frogs. So cloning is not all that new. It's been going on for quite a few decades, at least 50, 55 years. But cloning is something that some scientists have proposed as the answer to the future development of the human race or genetic engineering of human beings with long arms or small lungs or different features specifically engineered so they can get in a spacecraft and spend a couple of years. But cloning, we find out, though, has quite a few imperfections. For example, the sheep that was cloned lived only half as old as a sheep usually gets. I think a sheep usually lives about 12 years, but Dolly only lived 6 years because the cells from which another sheep was taken and put into Dolly was already 6 years old. So if someone, say, is 70 years old, they wish to be cloned to live forever, and they take a cell from that 70-year-old and put it into a female egg and produce a baby, well, that baby maybe will live only a few weeks or months at most. So they can't get around the time clock that God engineered into the chromosomes and to every cell. Cloning is something that has been tried. It's not according to God's procreative plan. I don't think it's going to continue very long.
Well, I think, you know, there are so many unknown factors about it. We just don't know what will happen a few years down the line. And, you know, you spoke about the tomato tasting like a cucumber. I read an account where a fella ate a tomato that was supposed to stay red and ripe for 6 months, and he became very sick. And they have found that tomatoes of this sort and other genetically engineered food, Dr. Hutchings, produce lesions in the stomach and in the esophagus. And so, you know, I'm saying, hey, God knew what he was doing, but the scientists really don't. We better stop messing around with something that could cause us untold problems down the line. Who knows what it'll do to our grandchildren, what it will do genetically to the human race. I mean, this is a frightening scenario.
So if you would like to talk to your children who come home asking all these questions about genetic engineering, cloning, chromosomes, and all this biochemistry science that they're getting in school, I'm not saying anything negative about the science itself, but it is the application of science. Here now is Brother Jerry to tell you how you may get a copy of Dr. Spargimino's book, Is Muhammad in the Bible, or my book on the new creators.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. To get either or both of these informative books, call 1-800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. The mailing address is Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. If you have a computer and access to the Internet, you can order over our secure website. The address is swrc.com. A single copy of Is Muhammad in the Bible will be sent for a gift of $10. Brother Hutchings' book, The New Creators, is also available for a $10 contribution. Better yet, get both of the books at the same time for a gift of $15. Is Muhammad in the Bible is 144 pages in length, and The New Creators is 96 pages. These books are also included in our current book clearance, which continues through September, so you may want to get them that way and add others from the list. If you received our August mailing, you have a complete list of books that are included and exactly how everything works. If you're not on the mail list, you can either visit the website or call 800-652-1144 when the call center is open, which is from 7:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. Central Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. Today's program is also available. Get it on CD or tape for a gift of $9 by calling, writing, or visiting the website. We're getting ever closer to the East Coast Prophecy Conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's set for September 7th through the 9th, which is next week. If you've not called to pre-register, please do so right away. Registration is $15 for one person, $25 for two or more. Call 1-800-652-1144. Call to pre-register. Stay tuned now for a Bible question and answer over most of these stations. And join Brother Hutchings and Dr. Doug Stauffer tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries question and answer. Answering today's question is Dr. Noah Hutchings. Our question today, Brother Hutchings, is from MC by email. He asks, Isaiah says that Tyre was destroyed never to rise again, but it is in the news today. Please answer.
The city of Tyre is one of the oldest cities in the world. We read of Tyre in Isaiah chapter 23, verse 7. Is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Tyre is reported in most encyclopedias to be founded in 2750 BC, which probably would have been immediately after the flood, or perhaps even before the flood. It has been destroyed and rebuilt many times. So Tyre was in existence some 2,000 years before Isaiah. Tyre was the city and Tyrus was the kingdom. Jezebel, the vicious, idolatrous queen of Ahab, was the daughter of the king of Tyrus. We read in Isaiah chapter 23, verse 15, that Tyre would be forgotten for 70 years, but afterward it would become a great city and commit fornications with many nations. Under Nebuchadnezzar, during the 70 years of Israel's captivity in Babylon, Tyre was destroyed. It was afterwards rebuilt under Persia, modern Iran, and become a great commercial empire with many merchant ships. It has always had a relationship with Iran just as it has today. It is an important base, of course, for Hezbollah. We read also in Isaiah chapter 23, verse 17, that the Lord would visit Tyre, and we read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke that Jesus did indeed visit Tyre to let the Jews there know that the Messiah had come. Tyre was a divided city. One part was on an island a few hundred yards from the city on the mainland. In 332 B.C., after Alexander had destroyed the Persian army, he besieged Tyre. The superior navy of Tyre prevented an invasion by sea, so Alexander destroyed the city on the mainland, and then he spent 7 months building a causeway to reach the island city. Fishermen did indeed later spread their nets on the causeway, just as prophesied. We read in Ezekiel chapters 26, 27, and 28 about the final destruction, which has not taken place as yet, according to present conditions in the Middle East, especially in the Tyre region. It could occur at any time. In 2006, the city had a population of 117,000, and in August, Israeli and Hezbollah forces were again engaged in fierce battles in that area. Inasmuch as dozens of Bible prophecies about Tyre have already been fulfilled, the one remaining relating to its ultimate destruction will certainly also be fulfilled.
That's today's question and answer. Each month, Q&As and Bible in the News reports are published in a booklet. If you want a copy, call 800-652-1144. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.